It's time for overtime.
Ready for this?
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Now to Giannis. Giannis with 50 in two of his last three now. Pulls up. 15-footer. Yes, sir!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We have made it to the Friday edition of Overtime. Welcome into your Sioux Falls sports leader. I'm Burt Ramin, and we got schedules to break down in the National Football League. Massive basketball game on the way. Two games tonight between the Pistons and Cavs up first. Spurs and T-Wolves at 8:30 as the Timberwolves looking to stave off elimination for another night. Big game tonight, but that spread grew in favor of the Spurs overnight from 4.5 to 5.5. Same deal with the Cavs and the Pistons. Cleveland goes from a 3.5-point favorite to a 4.5-point favorite last night. Welcome in to the Friday, May 15th edition of Overtime. End of the week, a lot to get into, including that aforementioned schedule release in the National Football League. The Packers' schedule is Charmin soft to start it out, despite being on the road more often than not early. But after the late bye for Green Bay, week number 11, it is a murderer's row. But the good news, four out of the last five games of the regular season for Green Bay, we'll be home at hopefully snowy, windy, nasty, yucky, get me the heck out of here Lambeau Field from the perspective of the visitor. We'll break down the Viking schedule, Packers schedule, and other highlights league-wide coming up here in the middle of hour number two. Middle of hour one, Friday Parlay comes around. PGA Championship latest, scoreboard watching there, and a look at your latest odds. NBA, NHL chatter, a unreal goal last night for the Vegas Knights and Mitch Marner as they blitz their way beyond the Anaheim Ducks in a 5-1 road win to win that series. And of course, we're highlighting what could be the final howl of the season, final gasp of the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves coming up tonight, maybe this weekend, if they can prolong it to 7 games. That is hour number one. Hour two on a Friday always begins with an opportunity to punch your neighbor in the nose and be rewarded for that exercise with the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, followed by the headlines of the day, NFL schedule release, and then we're talking about the Green Bay Packers with Pack-A-Day Podcast co-host Matt Fralick will join us about 12:40, talking about the rookie class, which one of these rookies is most inclined and most necessary to be a stud right away for the Packers to reach the aforementioned new heights that they've been waiting to get back on the big stage for a very long time, coming up on 15, now over 15 years ago since the Packers were on a Super Bowl stage as a winner or participant. Been a while since the Packers have been on that stage. We'll see who they need on that roster to take the next leap. Most important Packers in 2026. So much more. Matt Fralick of the Pack-A-Day Podcast joining us around 12:40. But with that, let's dive right into your scorecard where we've got two games tonight in the NBA, and finally, somehow, some way, nothing to recap last night. A night off. It kind of gives you a little bit of what is to come in the NBA. A lot more nights off on the way, few and far between, as the season is surely winding down. Pistons and Cavs up first, 6 o'clock on Prime Video. Cleveland leads 3-2 in the series, and at home, they have ballooned to a 4.5-point favorite. Spurs and T-Wolves from Minneapolis, 8:30 tonight on Prime Video. San Antonio with a 3-2 lead and a road closeout opportunity tonight. 5.5-point favorite according to DraftKings Sportsbook. Jay Williams, how does Minnesota win tonight against San Antonio?
Wimby goes, so go the Spurs.
Right.
So when you look at game, you know, two in the first round matchup against Portland, right? Concussion protocol, he was out. They lost. You look at game one, first round of this series, like he goes 0-for-8 from the field. Physicality, they lose. The elbow game, the right angry elbow, they lose. You have to be physical with him from the beginning. There's no way he can have 18 points in the first quarter of the way he plays. He has to be on his back each and every possession.
And certainly that's the key to the ballgame. More from Jay Williams here on the Broad Strokes. If Minnesota bows out, whether it be tonight or over the weekend, what does this year's second round exit mean for Anthony Edwards specifically?
It wouldn't mean anything for him. What, because he lost in the second round? Because he lost in the second, after he hyperextended his knee? Do you know how hard it is to come back from hyperextending your knee to play at this level? This dude, the last 2 years, he's been part of the Final Four. This year, he's part of the Final Eight. He has a chance to crack into the Final Four. Think about the upper echelon that Anthony Edwards is in. You said 18 career playoff games with 30 or more points. I know we love to live in the moment where we're going to make it a big damn thing that Anthony Edwards can't get his team over the hump against a 7'6 alien in Wimby. I'm just saying, let's just put it in perspective. Hyperextended knee, coming back, finding his way, and the success that's been there before, I'm just not going to make it a big deal if Ant can't get his team over the hump this season. No excuses, I'm just saying.
Not a big deal, according to Jay Williams. I will push back in one regard. You don't want to get left behind. OKC is better right now than Minnesota. That is not breaking news by any means or stretch. And then in addition to that, San Antonio feels like they're the new number two, where you thought Minnesota was taking up that mantle. They would be a team that would be feisty down the stretch of the next 3, 4, 5 years. They still could be, but Minnesota feels like the three spot, maybe the four spot moving forward. And this year, yes, would be disappointing to lose to the Spurs. Whether or not they're favored to beat them is a different story. But that's the only thing I would push back on there. It's not meaningless because it's another year without getting to the NBA Finals. It's another year without winning an NBA Finals. And if you ask a T-Wolves fan 2, 3 years ago, you would have hoped to at least been on that stage at this stage. But now you got Wemby, you got OKC staying really darn good. Yeah, it would be a little bit disappointing with another second round exit for Minnesota possible in the days to come. Let's move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night, two games went on. Montreal picked up a big-time revenge victory in Buffalo, beating the Sabres 6-3. They take a 3-2 lead in that series. It shifts back for Game 6 in Montreal coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ABC. And elsewhere, Vegas, with one of the more ludicrous, ridiculous goals you'll see in the first minute by Mitch Marner, kind of had his back to the net after skating right into the goalie's zone. Spins around, gets it into the net, and that was just the start for Vegas in a 5-1 win. They win the series 4-2, and they will see the Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference Finals Saturday. Possibly it's a closeout game for Montreal. They're on home ice against the Sabres, 7 o'clock on ABC. Lead that series 3-2. Buffalo favored, minus 160 on the puck line. Winner of that series, which is through 5 games, could go the distance. We'll see the Carolina Hurricanes, who are also white hot. A reminder, USHL hockey, the Clark Cup officially begins tonight. The Clark Cup finals as Muskegon from Michigan in town to battle Sioux Falls at 7:05 tonight. First 3,500 fans, I believe, sfstampede.com for the details. We'll get some goodies on the way into the Premier Center tonight at 7:05, Saturday 6:05, game one and game two of the Clark Cup Finals. Major League Baseball, Zebby Matthews, have a day. He gets promoted from AAA, comes in and has a 0.0 ERA, 1-0 record. Zebby Matthews impressed a lot of people, most notably manager Derek Shelton yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, his last start, like we talked about pregame in St. Paul against Vegas, was really good. 8 innings, I think he threw 90 pitches, 95 pitches, and he carried it over. He executed his plan throughout the day. Changeup was good. Fastball location was good. But overall, really impressive outing by Zebby.
All right, so hear from Zebby himself. He says it was pretty darn tough to wait for his turn, but made it worth it yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think with anybody, you know, when you're, you know, you got kind of playing the up and down game between the big leagues and AAA, I think it can be tough. But, you know, you use that opportunity in AAA. We've got great coaches and great staff and a great team there. So you use that opportunity to continue to build things and, you know, work on things. And then when your number's called here, you just come out here, perform, and, you know, pitch well here.
9-1, the victory yesterday for Minnesota. They moved to 20-24. Zebby Matthews' final stat line, 7 innings of work, 4 hits allowed, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts over 83 pitches yesterday in his season debut. Other finals from the American League Central or area squads. Colorado lost in Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. Detroit falls again at the Mets 9-4. Tigers in trouble at 19-25. They get passed by the Twins as of yesterday in the divisional race. Milwaukee beats San Diego 7-1. St. Louis beats the A's in West Sacramento 5-4. Cubbies over the Braves 2-0 in Atlanta. And the White Sox continue their surge. 6-2 victory over Kansas City. The White Sox are 22-21. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Brewers and Twins open a series. 5:30 pregame, 6:10. The official start time right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Pretty darn light slate the rest of the day. Cubs and the White Sox tussle on the south side at 6:40. Royals at Guardians 7:15. D-backs and Rockies a 7:40 go time. In the NASCAR world, coming up this weekend, it's the All-Star Race Sunday at noon. The coverage start on Fox Sports 1 from Dover Motor Speedway. And the NFL schedules are out. What team that made all the way to the biggest stage will not make the playoffs? Playoffs coming up this year. Here's Ryan Clark.
When you look at the Patriots, you were coming off of a fourth place schedule last year. Right. This year you play the first place schedule. You're going to get the NFC North. We know what the Minnesotas and the Chicagos and the Green Bays can bring to you. And then you also get the AFC West, right? So you have the Denvers, the Kansas Cities. This is a totally different schedule with different expectations. No one thought about Drake May as an MVP candidate or Mike Vrabel as a coach of the year candidate or this team being the type of team that could get to the Super Bowl. It's different now. You aren't sneaking up on anyone. I believe they not only take a step back, but in my opinion, the New England Patriots missed the playoffs this year.
There you go, Ryan Clark. The Patriots will miss the playoffs, and then he went ahead and put the hex on the Dallas Cowboys by saying this.
I believe it all hinges on the decision that George Pickens makes after signing his franchise tag. This offense played at an elite Super Bowl caliber level. It was all about what this defense couldn't produce. You go out and make plays, make trades near the trade deadline last year. You draft defensively early in this draft because you understand playing better on that side of the football gets you that extra oomph that puts you in the playoffs. And this team, Dak Prescott's play, Dak Prescott's leadership is all important. That gets them in the playoffs, and I believe they compete this year for a championship.
That is Ryan Clark saying the Dallas Cowboys compete this year for a championship. As for another team poised for some regression, Chris Canty, not a popular take here, saying one of, if not the best team in the league is going down.
It's the LA Rams. And I don't think it's particularly close. Go look at the Rams schedule. I mean, they've got 7 standalone games. The first 5 are tough. After the bye week is absolutely brutal. I mean, you got the Packers, the Chiefs, at the 49ers, Cowboys, at the Seahawks, at the Bucks, and then the Seahawks to finish off. If we're going to pick a regression team for 2026, it's the LA Rams.
Ooh.
That's the team that I'm circling and saying there could be a pullback.
Let's talk a little bit deeper about another team that's looking to go the other direction from the bottom. 6 wins last year, back into the postseason, maybe back into the latter stages of the postseason. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. Michelle Smallman says those forecasting a immediate resurgence to the top of the AFC might be overreacting quite a bit on the Chiefs.
Overreaction. I know you guys both say as long as Mahomes is healthy for the majority of the season that you expect them to be right back there. I am not in that camp. When Mahomes was healthy, the numbers have been in decline. After the Eagles took it to them in the Super Bowl, that team did not look the same when Mahomes was healthy earlier in the year. You have Travis Kelce returning, who's obviously at the end of his career. The secondary, gone. They went to LA. And most importantly, they're in a very, very difficult division. So I'm not ready to go there with the Chiefs and just assume that because Patrick Mahomes is going to come back healthy at some early point of the season that they're going to be able to return to form and get back to the Super Bowl.
And that is Michelle Smallman on Unsportsmanlike ESPN Radio this morning. Schedule breakdowns on the way, centered up in the middle of hour number 2. Vikings, Packers, Chiefs, Broncos, Bears, and of course those Motor City Kitties in Detroit. Tennis, a reminder, the French Open around the corner will open up the French Open from Roland Garros on May 23rd, conclude the great tournaments on June the 7th. PGA Championship golf continuing, and we've got a unique name at the top of the leaderboard. Get to know the name of your leader right now, Alex Smalley. 2 under today through 9, 5 under overall. He's got the lead over 3 under golfers, Hideki Matsuyama, Aldrich Potgieter, Stefan Jaeger, Minwoo Lee, and Ryo Hyesung Joon. Doing my best on the pronunciations there. For you Rory fans, avert your eyes and ears. He finished yesterday 4 over par. That is not great. Tied for 86th in the field right now. Good news, though, if you're looking for big names near the top of the leaderboard, you don't have to look too far. Schauffele, as well as Patrick Reed, Scotty Scheffler, all of those golfers in the mix, around 1 under, 2 under, in the early stages of day number 2 of the PGA Championship. D2 softball notable yesterday. Augustana nearly pulled the stunner as an 8 seed over top seed Missouri Southern. But Missouri Southern State, a 6-5 win yesterday. Augies not done. They match up with 4 seed St. Cloud State in an elimination game this afternoon at 4:30. D2 baseball. Augustana, 2 runs better than Northwest Missouri State, 12-10 yesterday. Now 5th-seeded Augustana advances to see the top seed in the region, the Gorillas of Pittsburgh State, 6 o'clock tonight. Stay tuned there. GoAugie.com/live. And USD softball, big stage tonight down in Lincoln against top seed Nebraska, number 4 overall seed in the entire bracket. Big opportunity for the Yotes as they get going at 5:30 tonight on ESPN Plus. Let's dive into your Reliant Bank headlines of the day for hour number 1. As always, for a better local banking option, find them online at ReliantBank.com or in person right here in the 605. Jake Lundquist had a pair of 2-run extra base hits to help lift the 17th rated Augie baseball team to a 12-10 seed upset victory in 10 innings over number 29 Northwest Missouri State last night at Al Ortolani Field. With the win, the Vikings advance to take on host Pittsburgh State at 6 o'clock this afternoon evening. Augie will serve as the home team in that contest. Winner will advance to the sub-region final. Again, double elimination, so Augie could take a loss today, still be in play to get back at the big stage at the end of the weekend. Follow along, GoAugie.com/live, and a massive effort for Augie yesterday. Baseball, 12-10, the victory. The effort was there for Augustana softball. They opened the regional tournament yesterday afternoon, dropping a 6-5 heartbreaker to the host, number 5 Missouri Southern, at the Pat LaPera softball complex. Taya Speltz got the start in the circle, allowed 6 runs, 5 earned, with a pair of punchouts against one of the top lineups in the country. 7 different Vikings recorded hits yesterday, led by 2 apiece for Desi Cuevas, Sydney Smart, and Ella Cooper. Speltz also hit a 3-run homer, while Stella Harbor and Andrea Kane each drove in a run. Not enough yesterday, but again, same as the baseball squad, double elimination. You feel like this team's pretty darn hungry and can get it done. They will take on St. Cloud State, a 4:30 start time this afternoon. Speaking of Augie softball, congratulations in order. A pair of Augustana softball players have earned NFCA All-Central Region honors, with 1 first-team selection and 1 second-team selection. Freshman Kiera Lubavitch was named the first team yesterday after a dynamic first season right here in Sioux Falls. The NSIC Freshman of the Year hit .437 this year, 76 hits, 18 doubles, 10 homers, and 59 RBI. That led Augie offensively. Senior Andrea Kane is an all-region member for the 2nd time in her storied career. The also Sioux Falls native was 2nd on the team with a .390 average, led the team with 11 homers. And the all-NSIC first-team selection recorded a .1155 OPS and hit 78 hits while scoring 63 runs. Vikings, of course, continuing their run through the NCAA regional tournament this afternoon. They'll take on St. Cloud State coming up later on. That start time is at 4:30. And lastly, news from down in Vermilion, USD men's basketball head coach Eric Peterson has announced an addition to the staff, a hiring of Javon Coleman as an assistant coach. Coleman joins the Yotes staff after gaining experience at the D1 level, most recently at Nicholls State as an associate head coach and as a graduate assistant at Creighton in the NAIA at Bruton Paker College and in the NCAA level at Toccoa Falls College. In his 2 seasons at Nicholls, the Colonels posted a 34-33 record, 25-17 in the Southland Conference, while advancing to the Southland Conference Tournament semifinals back in 2024-2025. Quarterfinals this past season. Welcome to Vermillion, an assistant coach hire for Eric Peterson, Javon Coleman. Full bio available at goyotes.com. When we get back, it is your first opportunity to win on a Friday, the Friday Parlay. We'll get posted up live. We got some WNBA, PGA championships sprinkled in. And, of course, we'll do our best with some NHL and Major League Baseball. Over the weekend, Friday Parlay Live, a Twitter exclusive. Make an account. Give us a follow. Enter for your chance to win a big prize pack each and every weekend with the Friday Parlay. We'll do that next. Also, check in on the PGA Championship odds roundup, where you imagine Scottie Scheffler, who is sitting at 1 under, 2 over today, but 1 under overall, still in the mix to win it all at the PGA Championship over the weekend. That next as we continue on the Friday edition of Overtime.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you, making our way through hour number one on this Friday, Ides of May edition of Overtime, May the 15th. Friday Parlay is officially live. PGA Championship latest and talk on the way, and a look at the latest odds that has Scottie Scheffler still in the catbird seat with a big win in the Friday Parlay this weekend. You can score Twins tickets and more per usual this time of year. Here are your bets in the Friday Parlay that is officially live on the Bird app. Buffalo at Montreal, NHL Game 6 coming up on Saturday. Again, Game 7, not guaranteed, so we're going to be pretty darn limited with NBA, NHL over the weekend in the parlay. But we got one guaranteed game on Saturday, Buffalo and Montreal from north of the border. Just tell me who wins that one. Milwaukee and Minnesota baseball on Saturday, middle of that series at Target Field. And then the Chicago Sky visiting the Minnesota Lynx, WNBA basketball on Sunday. The Sky are receiving 7.5 points there. Your tiebreaker, easy peasy this time of year with golf. The winning score to par at the PGA Championship. Right now, the leader is at 4 under. You do a little easy peasy math there. Maybe 12, 13 under-ish by the end of the round. You tell me. Make sure to include the plus or the minus, because if you just put 11, I assume that's going to be plus 11. So do not forget the little dash, a.k.a. the minus key. When entering the Friday Parlay, it's easy to enter. It's free to enter and fun to win. Just ask any of our winners each and every week. Friday Parlay on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. You got to give us a follow, enter, and that is it to win the Friday Parlay each and every weekend. Let's get into the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler entering the day. Missed a 4-foot putt and laughed. John Rahm angrily swung his club after an errant shot in the grass divot hit a volunteer in the face. And Garrick Higgo was 10 seconds late to the first tee and penalized 2 shots before he swung a club. It was a pretty darn interesting start on the opening Thursday at the PGA Championship. When the day was over, most predictable was seeing Scheffler's name atop the leaderboard at 3 under 67, along with 6 other players. It is the first time the world's number one player has at least had a share of the lead after 18 holes of a major, with Scottie Scheffler saying post-match, is it really a lead when you're tied with 6 guys? No, not really. It's kind of a tie. After one day, Scottie Scheffler no longer in the lead. Gets you a up-to-minute update here in a moment on that leaderboard, where a surprising name, which we'll talk about in a moment, is on top of that. But let's talk about hitting somebody in the face with a divot. I'm so bad at golf, but I've never done that. So kudos to John Rahm, the 2-time major champion, apologized for hitting a volunteer with a divot after he took a swing in frustration during the first round of the 108th PGA Championship on Thursday. To be clear, I'm very likely to hit somebody with my ball, break a club, and have the head of the club go and hit somebody, hit the golf cart, hit somebody, kill a bird. Who knows? But I've never hit somebody with a divot. But I'm also not really skilled enough to know when I'm taking a divot as much as I just accidentally drag my club along the surface. Rahm unhappy with his approach shot on the 7th hole at a Rahm Golf Club, leading to the incident. I got a flyer on my second shot that went long, Rahm said after he posted a 1-under-69. Just not a good spot. Out of frustration, tried to make an air swing just over the grass, and I wasn't looking. I took a divot, and unfortunately, I hit a volunteer. He knew it immediately. Not a good look for John Rahm, and it's been a little bit of egg on the face lately. If you think about Sergio Garcia's antics recently at the Masters, a couple of times over, John Rahm taking a big swing and a divot to the face of a volunteer. Apparently, volunteer doing just fine. But the most impressive thing done yesterday was the dude that showed up late to his tee time. We told you about that yesterday. South Africa's Garrick Higo was penalized two strokes for being late to his morning tee time in the first round of the 108th PGA Championship. The good news, though, after the day was over, Higo played pretty darn well. Maybe he just needed a little bit more time because he ended up being pretty darn okay. Two-time PGA Tour winner was able to recover. Birdies on the par 4 third and par 5th ninth. He made the turn at even par 35, and certainly things could have gone a lot worse as Higo cards a 69 despite that two-stroke penalty at the PGA Championship yesterday. Right now, we'll give credit where credit is due. Alex Smalley, for now, through 10 today, 1-under. Overall, 4-under is your outright leader on the leaderboard. Actually, this just went away. Smalley now 3-under. We'll still talk to you about Alex Smalley quickly here because oftentimes you see these funky names up near the top, and we want to know a little bit more about the golfer. Smalley from Rochester, New York, 29 years old, lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's the home of my beautiful wife, by the way. Attended Duke University, has 3 amateur wins on his career. But Smalley would be an amazing story the rest of the weekend if he's able to even sniff around the top of the leaderboard, make it interesting. As of moments ago, he had about the 5th or 6th best odds. I'm sure those are a little bit deeper now. They are falling down. He's got the 7th best odds right now. And that's where we go to take a look at the leaderboard and then the current odds at the PGA Championship. Smalley, 3-under. Got to hit this refresh button because the TV's way ahead of what I've got on the computer here. Smalley is tied with numerous golfers at 3-under par. Matsuyama, Potgieter, Jaeger, Minwoo Lee, Ryo Hisatsun. Not sure I know that name just yet. Other guys near the top, Patrick Reed, Zahid Thegala, Xander Schauffele. Those golfers are at 2-under. And then Scottie Scheffler, Andrew Novak, Kurt Kitayama, Ryan Gerard, Nikolai Højgaard, and Joaquin Neiman are 1-under par. Jason Day and many numerous names also there. A lot of these golfers that I mentioned yet to get underway today. And for you Rory McIlroy fans, I told you last segment, he is hanging out in not a great spot, tied for 85th, but a lot of upward trajectory. A lot of people to pass, Rory. 4-over par 74 yesterday. He'll start his round around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Latest odds in line. Scheffler, still your outright winner. Midway through today, not looking too great, 2-over par. But still, if he stays in the top 10, top 12, top 15, you figure he's got a really good shot the remaining rounds over the weekend. Scheffler plus 375. Matsuyama second plus 770. Schauffele, Rahm, and Minwoo Lee round out the top 5. Patrick Reed, Alex Smalley, Kepka, Cameron Young, Jordan Spieth, the top 10 right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. We'll keep you updated as we move along on this Friday PGA Championship Friday edition of Overtime as they're just getting going. Nobody late to the tee box today. No chunks of flying grass to hit anybody in the face yet at Aronimink Golf Club today. We got that yesterday, but we'll see about what other shenanigans are in the works at the PGA Championship as we move forward on a Friday. Coming up next, NBA, NHL, a little Major League Baseball talk as well. The Timberwolves, can they get a win tonight in what could be their final game of the season? We'll wait and see. Dive into some keys and odds when we come back on a Friday, May 15th edition of Overtime.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Mm-hmm. making our way through the Friday edition of Overtime, the home stretch of hour number one. A reminder, hour number two each and every Friday begins with an opportunity to beat up your neighbor for a big prize pack featuring a gift certificate to the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. We call it the High Noon Showdown around these parts, and you can hop on the phone lines here in about 15 minutes to beat up your neighbor and win that prize pack. That number to dial and weigh in on the show, 605-362-3776, 605-362-3776. They got Garrett Higgle up on the screen right now as his tee time just north of 4 minutes away, and that is hysterical that they got the live cam on him, just making sure he's not going to miss his start time today. 4 minutes to go, and he's in a good spot just off of the current tier offers at the PGA Championship. Let's talk baseball quickly. An update on a story we shared yesterday on the show. The Chicago White Sox said in a statement that the fan who fell roughly 10 feet into the visiting bullpen at Wrigley Field during Wednesday night's win over Kansas City seemed to be doing well. We reached out to the fan to check on his well-being, and his friend was able to share a positive report. Team said before yesterday's series finale against the Royals, the entire White Sox organization and clubhouse are wishing him a speedy recovery. White Sox didn't reveal the fan's name, which hospital he was taken to, or the nature of his injuries, but a wide-angle video from MLB.com research shows that the fan fell over a roughly 3-foot-high barrier from the front row of Section 105 to the south side ballpark's right field seats into the bullpen located behind the stadium's right field wall. The base of the barrier, concrete, rising about 10 to 12 inches, topped by a metal fence that is about 2 feet high, and the front row of seats about 3 feet behind the fence. And the video shows the fan rising to his feet as Chicago's second baseman Chase Meadroff hit a run-scoring sac fly to the Royal center fielder Lane Thomas for the first out on the bottom of the third. Fan continued over the barrier, fell in front of the red ad for a local butcher shop, landed in an area covered by both grass and dirt at the west end of the bullpen, and the good news about it is the fan's okay. Another scary situation. I believe that's the second time in as many years. We had a pretty scary one last year. I can't remember for sure the city. I want to say Pittsburgh. Could be wrong on that, but certainly a scary situation. Other baseball news. I was just saying how cool it was, how funky and weird baseball players are yesterday, that Seattle Mariners star catcher Cal Raleigh showered in his uniform to wash off the stank of a really bad hitless streak. And now he's heading to the injured list for the first time in his career. Cal Raleigh is heading to the 10-day IL on Thursday morning with a right oblique strain, the first injured list stint of his career in his sixth major league season. The 29-year-old was mired in the longest hitless streak in the majors before breaking out on Tuesday night with two singles and a 10-2 rout of the Astros, and on Thursday heads to the injured list. It could be the very start of a very frustrating season for Cal Raleigh after a tremendous one last year in which he was one of the biggest stars in the league. The Buffalo Sabres are on the brink of elimination from their second-round Eastern Conference playoff series now against Montreal following an ugly 6-3 loss in Game 5 last night that put the Sabres in a 3-2 hole. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen started the night and guided Buffalo to a 3-2 lead after the first 20 minutes, but the wheels came off from there as the Sabres' glaring defensive breakdowns and Luukkonen's increasingly unsteady play resulted in a 5-3 deficit going into the third and a 6-3 final. Hard not to root for Buffalo, by the way. Montreal as well. Both of these teams are good stories. Been a while since they've been on a big stage. One of them's going to get there, hopefully be able to compete with the Carolina Hurricanes, but certainly not a great effort last night for Buffalo as they fall on home ice. A big opportunity missed for them, and they got to go prove it on the road in Montreal coming up over the weekend Saturday to prolong that series to 7 games. Other news to get to, Mitch Marner. If you have not seen the highlight, if you didn't watch any sports show that has highlights this morning, you need to check it out. Just type in Marner to your search bar, Google box, whatever it might be, and you'll find this amazing back-to-the-net goal scored by the veteran last night. Vegas back in the Western Conference Finals, and Mitch Marner got him started early. The 29-year-old had a goal and an assist to help Vegas eliminate the Ducks 5-1 in Game 6 last night after 9 postseasons with the Leafs in which he was labeled a playoff disappointment. Marner says, watch this. The Golden Knights move on to face the Avs. It'll be Marner's first trip to the conference finals. And Marner, Got it going about a minute and a half into the ball game with a breakout opportunity towards the net, slowed it up, sped up, slowed it up again, put his back to the net, and was able to pirouette around, through, and over the goaltender and put one in the back of the net early. That was the beginning stages of a beautiful 5-1 win for Vegas, and that's going to be a very fun series. Vegas and Colorado on one side, and the winner of Montreal and Buffalo gets Carolina on the other. Again, your favorites, which we've been keeping you up to date on the odds around, your favorites in the Stanley Cup Finals right now to win it all. Going to be Colorado 1 and Carolina 1B. Pretty darn close odds currently. Other news to get to from the NHL, the Blackhawks are looking for another young stud, and Roman Kantarsarov is joining the team after a record-breaking season in the Continental with a K Hockey League. The Blackhawks announced on Thursday they had agreed to a 3-year contract with a 21-year-old Russian winger, a second-round pick back in 2023. Listed at 5'9", a buck 76, he led the KHL with 36 goals in 63 games with Metallurg Magnitogorsk. Doing my best there. He also had 4 goals and 4 assists in 15 postseason games. His 36 netters and 64 points were the highest single-season totals for a player under the age of 22 in KHL history. Now, the Blackhawks have another top 5 pick this year. This is, I believe, year number 4 in a row in which the Blackhawks have either had pick 1, pick 2, or a pick in the top 5. This should be next year the big season of growth and development and wheels turning. They improved this year quite a bit. You can't really tell because they're still one of the worst teams in the NHL, but the Blackhawks have all sorts of young talent. Just need to get it on the old ice and keep it there, whether it's Frondell, of course, Bedard, and now Kantarsarov, a 21-year-old Russian and one of the more prolific youngsters in the history of the Continental Hockey League, officially signing on 3-year deal with Chicago. Other shakeup, there's been a lot of dismissals in season, postseason of general managers and coaches, and the Vancouver Canucks have their new GM as they're hiring Ryan Johnson, while Daniel and Henrik Sedin were named co-presidents of hockey operations. Johnson's been with the organization since 2013 as a development coach and served as the club's assistant GM over the past 2 years, and the Sedins, who spent their entire NHL careers with the Canucks, joined the hockey operations department back in June of 2021. The identical twins will replace Jim Rutherford, who is stepping down from that role after the NHL draft in June. The 77-year-old will remain with the team as an advisor and an alternate governor. Lastly, basketball news to get to. Anthony Edwards, defiant and saying, "We are not done." Edwards saying, "I don't see anybody in our locker room that's too worried. There's another basketball game. Come out, put your boots on, and get ready to go to war." The Spurs went to war on the Timberwolves in Game 5, a 126-97 win on Tuesday night, outscoring the T-Wolves in all 4 quarters to claim a 3-2 lead. Minnesota's trouble began early. NBA opted not to suspend Victor Wembanyama after his Game 4 swinging intentional, I put that in there, elbow to Naz Reid's jaw, ruling that the second quarter ejection and the subsequent Spurs loss was punishment enough. Wemby came out aggressive to atone for the series-shifting mistake. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds in the first 7 minutes, delivering a 24-11 lead in the opening stint, dropping in a sequence of floaters and threes from impossible-to-contest angles. And the T-Wolves are up against it. But I'm going to tell you here, because I find the Minnesota Timberwolves very good, very deep, and also very unpredictable. Every time I think they've got it made, they'll find a way. They'll lose to Portland at home on a random night. And every time I think they're down and out, oh, that's too tough. They're not going to beat OKC. They can't handle Denver again. They get the job done. So I think, honestly, I think Minnesota finds a way. Coming up tonight, 8:30 on Prime Video, the 5.5 spread number is going to be interesting to monitor throughout the game. I think it's going to be back and forth, but just like bashing your head against a wall and trying to predict this team, I believe that Minnesota's going to respond. I believe Anthony Edwards, when he paints that picture and that narrative of just another game, put your boots on, go to work. We'll see what happens in Game 7 if they can force it. That would be on the road in San Antonio, which has been a house of horrors, save for Game 1 of the series for Minnesota. But I do believe Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves will have some juice tonight, and I'd have them winning, prolonging the series to a Game 7, because that's what we deserve and what we want for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are hanging on right now in an elimination contest tonight. Again, 5.5-point underdog at home, 8:30 on Prime Video. The earlier game, 6 o'clock on Prime, where Cleveland leads 3-2, and the Cavs are favored by 4.5 points. Latest odds. We'll get you an update on the scorecard of the PGA Championship. Let's start in the NHL, where we got an elimination last night of Anaheim. So we got Vegas, Montreal, Buffalo, Carolina, and Colorado still in the thing. Here's what the latest odds suggest. Colorado plus 130, Carolina plus 165, Vegas plus 600, Montreal and Buffalo, Canadians are plus 950, Buffalo plus 2,500. So Vegas is leaning, I think that series is over as it shifts to Montreal for game number 6 in an elimination contest for the Sabres Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ABC. As for the Stanley Cup exact result, the most popular bet is Colorado beating Carolina. That pays plus 235. Carolina beating Colorado plus 280. And then you got some other smattering of matchups. The longest of long shots, Buffalo beating Vegas plus 8,000, available right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. NBA basketball, we gave you the odds for tonight's game. Detroit favored by, or Detroit a 4.5-point underdog. And the Spurs a 5.5-point favorite on the road in Minnesota. Your futures bets, OKC minus 175, Spurs plus 340, Knicks plus 550. And that's your latest odds from the world of the NBA and NHL. And a scoreboard check. We're still seeing a smattering of golfers up there at 3 under. But I got to tell you, we've seen quite the shift lately, because we were talking at the beginning of the show about a name that we haven't seen too often near the top of the leaderboard. And breaking news, he's not really near the top of the leaderboard 2i anymore. Alex Smalley is now 2 under. But 3 under is the score to have. Matsuyama, Lee, Jager, Hisatune, and Potgieter at 3 under. Scotty Scheffler, 2 under par, which, of course, every better blocking and flocking to Scheffler, plus 280, the latest odds for Scheffler to win this year's PGA Championship. There is your odds roundup on a Friday edition of Overtime. When we come back, it's time to beat up your neighbor with the High Noon Showdown. You want to win a big prize pack, which includes some grillable great eats to the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats out there on the east side. Dial me up right now. Caller 1, caller 2. We'll duke it out and go to war coming up next in the High Noon Showdown. Caller 1 and caller 2, 605-362-3776. I will be throwing in a brand new ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt of your size and preference. We got a charcoal colored t-shirt now. Also got the usual old school light gray as well in studio. You let me know what you'd like. Caller 1, caller 2. Let's go to war next at 605-362-3776. The High Noon Showdown after this, 605-362-3776.